Hour two of First Up, Carol Nikoliakovo, as I jumped in a little bit too early on this segment. Here we go. All right, this is TSN 1050. It's brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. And we are still reacting and trying to figure out what happened yesterday at Leafs locker room cleanout day, where a lot of comments were made, a lot of unhappy Maple Leaf fans based on some of the things that were said, that were heard. And I am curious, Coco, in your experience in the NHL, you played 14 years in the league. Locker room cleanout day is not the most fun day, but take us back to your time in Toronto, the preparation for what to expect from the media year after year. What was said by management, the PR staff, to you guys in preparing for the questions that you knew were coming?
Well, it was different back then during my time. Unfortunately, during my time, we didn't make the playoffs. And, you know, those aren't always fun situations to be in. I think going back to 2006 when we missed out on the last game of the season because of Wade Dublowitz, and because he had his Hall of Fame moment for the New York Islanders, there was more, it was more of an optimistic end of the year pressers, where it was, you know, a time that for us that was disappointing, but it was an encouraging time because it felt like we were on the verge of turning the corner and becoming a playoff team again. Locker room cleanouts are never fun because you invest so much time, so much energy, so much commitment to a full season of practice, of training, of games, of traveling. And you're doing it all with your teammates that allows you to create a bond with these guys, and then it, in the snap of a fingers, based on a result, it's over. And it's probably the last time this whole group will get a chance to play together and be together, because every year there's changes, and there's obviously a huge cry for big changes with this team. So I can't put myself in this group of Maple Leaf shoes of locker cleanout year, because it's been so familiar.
Yeah, exactly.
And so familiar in, you know, I wouldn't say a positive way, but with a higher expectation way, that when you don't, like last year's locker cleanout was probably a different feeling than this year's, because you felt like you accomplished something. You got to the second round. You lost to a team that went to the Stanley Cup final. You lost to a team that caught lightning in a bottle and just steamrolled the rest of the teams that they played getting to the finals. And I honestly do believe that the 9-day layoff between the conference finals and the Stanley Cup finals buried any momentum that Florida had gained throughout that playoff series, and probably why Vegas won handily in that finals. So this year, again, you know, locker cleanout, yeah, you're at the rink, yeah, you're seeing your teammates from the last time, but I would speak for a lot of the guys, they're probably answering questions that they don't want to answer, because I don't think they have the answers to them.
No, and that was evident yesterday on a number of fronts. Why don't we play the first piece of audio? This is Sheldon Keefe's opening statement yesterday to the media.
Today is always a difficult day, and really the worst day of the season, which is, it should feel that way when you don't meet expectations. And today is certainly one of those days. You know, we're in the results business here, and we didn't get results, and we haven't met expectations. And as a head coach, I take responsibility for that. You have a team that has expectations and has goals in mind, and you don't reach them, it's not a good feeling.
I think that's a very appropriate response.
Take ownership.
Yep, that's it. And that's what people want, and that's what everybody should be embracing with the Maple Leafs. Mm. We didn't get it done. We lost in the first round again. We need to be better. We need to be held accountable. And for Sheldon Keefe, I don't know if he's going to be the head coach of the Maple Leafs. I don't believe he will, and I know you think it's a little bit different. So again, I'm sure we'll talk about that throughout the course of the morning, the future of the Maple Leafs at head coach, especially after everything we learned yesterday with the press conference on Friday that will feature new CEO Keith Pelly, Shanahan as the president. I mean, in that, at least at the time, we believe that's the case, and Brad Tree living as a general manager. But good for Keith for coming out and stating the obvious, something that no one else really seemed willing to do yesterday.
And I, and that to me is probably why the anger meter in Toronto continues to rise. And what's even becoming more frustrating is you start to question what type of media training these guys do get from this team, knowing that they live in the hottest media market in the country, in the sport. Okay. Chris Johnson, who will be joining us later in the hour, reported yesterday before Locker Clino that John Tavares told reporters that Brad Treliving had a meeting with the players, and his message was that they have to be better and push forward. And I believe the message was the margins are very small and very thin. The message that I would have presented to the group after another year of losing the same way is, okay, fine. You come out and Brad Treliving, you want to express that to your group that, hey, you know, it's hard to win in the playoffs. When you play against good teams, the margins are very thin. We have to push forward. We have to be better. But I'm going to encourage you guys to make sure you emphasize a very specific point when you're talking to the media. And I would have said, guys, take ownership. Take ownership. Because in this market, you'll be appreciated more as you walk away from this season if you tell everybody that cheered you on for 6 months and 89 games and you fell short again, that you went out there and you're going to take ownership for your play. And you're going to take ownership for not being able to be your best and take your team to the next level. Because we talk about respect in the handshake line. That's how you get the respect from the fans back. Even though fans right now have lost a lot of faith because they're just so sick. And Brian Hayes said it best post game on Saturday. Maple Leaf fans are just becoming numb to this. And it's true. Because you're seeing the same result and you're hearing the same things being said year after year. And if the message was to step out in front of the mic and each individual take ownership for their own wrongdoings, how would we be feeling today about what was said yesterday versus what was said and the reaction to what was said?
I think the fans' apathy can be satiated quite simply by making some significant change with this team and with this organization. I'm not sure how much of that has happened. Our opinions on that differ. I think there will be significant change. I think there will be a new head coach. And I think that Mitch Marner, that's one that I struggle with, because I think in a perfect world, the Toronto Maple Leafs would move on from Mitch Marner without hesitation. But he has a no movement clause. He controls his destiny. And if he's willing to go to a couple teams, and that's a big if, what leverage do the Maple Leafs have to make a deal? The answer is very, very little. And I don't see the Leafs getting a return that's commensurate with trading Mitch Marner for pennies on the dollar, making their team better next year.
When you say you don't see them getting a return, the Maple Leafs don't have to trade Mitch Marner.
They don't. But again, I think the core problem these guys have is that they have too much money allocated to four players.
They need to disperse it better.
So when you say they don't need to, they're not trading Matthews, they're not trading Nylander.
But what I'm saying is they need to
trade somebody else.
I'm just responding to what you said and saying you don't think the return's going to be high. Well, if the return's not going to be high, they don't need to trade them.
Exactly, which is why I'm skeptical that they're going to be able to.
But here's the thing. I believe there's a lot of teams out there that would absolutely line up for Mitch Marner's services. We here have created an image of Mitch Marner because of, you know, sometimes he gets combative with the media, and I've never really agreed with that stance with him. You could tell sometimes he gets uncomfortable in the media as well, too, and I don't necessarily understand why. But aside from how we in Toronto feel about Mitch Marner, when people look at people outside the league look at Mitch Marner, he's an elite talent. Teams will line up to acquire elite talent. Now, the difficulty about acquiring a guy like Mitch Marner is he's due for a contract. Same thing that the Maple Leafs entertained with Will Nylander last year, where last year, again, it's amazing how the story has changed in year to year, but last year, William Nylander seemed like the odd man out if there was going to be changes because of his contract status. And now, Mitch Marner is in that same boat because of his contract status. William Nylander and Austin Matthews got long-term extensions. They ain't going anywhere. John Tavares has 1 year left on his deal. My expectation is that he plays this out and then they revisit what his future will be with this team in the following season, based on the term and value that he wants to finish out his career as a Maple Leaf, if that feeling is mutual. But the reason why everyone talks about Mitch Marner and, you know, trade and breaking up the score is because he's the guy right now that fits a move because of his contract.
No, it's not. It's the reason is because he didn't play well. And
that,
hasn't played well. That's that the reason.
As well.
If his contract is a non-issue, if this guy's going out and playing up to his capabilities, year after year, he doesn't show up in the big moments. Again, in games 5-7, a playoff series in his career, he has 9 points in 21 games.
Look,
the contract is
it.
Irrelevant. It's about
it,
performance. And he doesn't perform and hasn't performed. And I thought in those 7 games, he was not good at all. So if you, I understand what you're saying with regards to how this is all situated, the contract, the timing, it all aligns. And the fact that they didn't move on from him last summer was a major mistake before the no trade clause kicked in, because they've lost all leverage. They might have zero leverage at all. Mitch Marner could simply say, I'm not moving. I'm not accepting a deal. I'm going to walk to free agency and you guys are stuck with me and you might lose me without getting anything, because I can guarantee if the Leafs go to Mitch Marner, be like, hey, Mitch, give us a couple teams and maybe we can find something. He's like, no, I don't think the Leafs are like, all right, well, how about a contract extension? I don't think that's how it's going to work out.
Well, he made it clear yesterday. He made it clear yesterday by saying he loves this place and would love to stay here long.
I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would.
So they've got to make a decision on that. And
so there's three ways this plays out, right?
All I'm saying is that your view of what the rest of the league or how the rest of the league views Mitch Marner doesn't align.
I don't agree.
Mitch Marner.
I'm not saying he's a bad player. He's an amazing regular season performer. But if you're a team in the NHL that is looking at Marner, you want to give him $12 million a year over a long term, be like, that's one of our cornerstones for a long playoff run. I just don't understand that idea.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Maybe some teams acquiring Mitch Marner aren't focused on a long
term. I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Maybe some teams acquiring Mitch Marner know that just bringing him into the mix as a guy that's can put up 90 to 100 points in a season to fit in with some of the other young talent or some of the other talent there is a better situation than what they have. Look, AK, you know as well as a lot of people know that watch this league, it is hard to acquire elite talent in this league. And when a guy like Mitch Marner becomes available, I'm telling you right now, there will be a lot of people lining up to acquire that piece. And I don't necessarily think that any type, the Maple Leafs are going to get lowballed in any type of offer. I really don't.
All right.
Here's the thing. Remember when Phil Kessel was a Toronto Maple Leaf as a top-line player here, a guy that in the playoff time couldn't get it done? Where did he go? He went to the Pittsburgh Penguins, where he didn't have to be the top guy. He filled in the role, and he won 2 Stanley Cups doing so. Like, that's a situation, and it was a horrible trade that the Maple Leafs made to get rid of him. I don't even remember any significant pieces that came back when they did trade him. Did they get a first round pick, Kasperi Kapanen, and some other young prospect?
Something like
Harrington,
that.
Harrington, it
wasn't. Yeah, Scott Harrington, Nick Spaulding, Kasperi Kapanen, a first and a third.
Yeah.
But what was Kessel's cap hit at the time?
Remember, $8 million.
So, and Toronto was retaining
$1 million.
$1 million. So that's a big, that's almost, you're talking about half Kessel's cap hit then to what Mariners is now or will be now. And I guess its salary cap was going up. So maybe it's not half. Maybe it's 65%. But I don't know. I guess this is just a difference of opinion. And I do believe that Mitch Marner should be looking to get out of Toronto as well. Because I think he can thrive in another market. I don't think he's really built for this, frankly. I think it's all in his head, the media. And
that's a fair opinion.
You heard. If I was part of the Marner camp, I'd be like, Mitch, let's get out of here, man. Like, we don't need this. Like,
yeah.
the fan base, it's a toxic environment. I think we could find a better spot for you where you can have a lot of success. You can actually earn a bunch more money playing elsewhere and maybe just find your niche in a different market. But that might not be on the table for Marner until next summer. And if he wants to exercise that no move, then he can do that.
If there's one thing I can feel confident in saying is that I believe that the Maple Leafs will have a conversation and at least explore the idea of what a Mitch Marner trade would look like. Whether that actually gets executed or not, I can't say that confidently, because a lot of the big decisions that are going to be made with this team is all going to be determined by who's in charge. And I still believe that as long as Shanahan's in charge, he doesn't have the appetite to make big changes. He hasn't had it up until now. What would make him feel differently?
I think seeing this happen again.
That's just the way I view it.
Seeing this happen again better make you change, better make you feel differently. And I think the fan reaction, as soon as you start listening to the fans, you'll be sitting with them. That's the old adage. But I think
when have the Leafs ever listened to the fans?
No, you're right. You're right. I know. I'm hopeful that this is a different time. We'll talk to Chris Johnson about that, our hockey insider. He's up in about 25 minutes. Cam, I'm seeing, is his birthday today. Is that right, Cam?
What
a time.
Cammy boy.
This guy is waking up at 4:30 in the morning on his birthday to come in and work on First Up. So kudos to him. He's going to join us on the other side. And Carlo will present his birthday present he has for you then as well. This is First Up, Hour 2.
What's your rating?
Rate me.
Zero. Zero rating. Zero rating.
Just curious. 1 to 5.
1 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
Rate my take.
Fate of the universe on the line, or the Martians have the death beam pointed at Earth. You better hit it. I want Iguodala.
Yes.
Yes. Just heard from Arad, who messaged me this morning that he's alive and well in Thailand.
No way.
No, he actually didn't. He doesn't like me. So I did not hear from Arad, but hopefully he's doing well. In his stead, we have the birthday boy, Cam, celebrating the big 2-6 today.
Yes.
Wow.
With us here on First 26. What would you do to be 26 again, Coco?
A lot. I would do a lot to be 26.
Well, again. He's got the good fortune of being 26 and being the host of Rate My Take. Go ahead, birthday boy. What takes are you presenting?
Yes, and Carlo, your thoughts today on the Boston Bruins and why they will advance to the kind of irony around why Boston will advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I looked at it a different way. I think Boston will advance to the Eastern Conference Finals just because last year, Florida, they had the goalie that took a team that wasn't that very good to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I think Boston has the chance to do that again this year.
Hey. Good goaltending. It's amazing what great goaltending can do for you come playoff time. And you're absolutely right. Boston is getting that right now. Rate your take on this. I'm still going to give it a 3.5 out of 5 because, man, I still look at this Boston roster and I can't convince myself that this roster ahead of the goaltending is good enough to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Beat the Florida Panthers. Beat one of the Rangers or Carolina. I know goaltending plays a big factor, but that's what bothered me about the Leafs losing to Boston, because I still look at this Boston roster and I say, That team is not even that good. How the hell did they lose to them?
Yes, agreed. No, I don't think Boston's advancing past Florida. I know they won game one. Kudos to the Bruins. Florida had, what, a 9-day layoff? I think their legs will be under them on Wednesday. I think they'll take it to the Bruins, win game two, and win the series in six.
Is that how long they had? 9 days?
Yeah, it was a long layoff for the Panthers. So, and that's what I'm concerned about with the Oilers as well, in that they'll have 7 days off between the end of their first round and the beginning of their series against Vancouver. So if you look at that as any indication, maybe the play is Vancouver in game one. And then Edmonton in the series.
Do you really think Arthur Seeloff's?
How dare you mispronounce? It's Arthur Seeloff's.
Arthur's.
Maybe it is Seeloff's, I believe, as well. No, no, I don't believe it. I don't believe
Arthur's.
It.
Arthur's.
Arthur's Seeloff's.
Seeloff's.
The third stringer for Vancouver up against McDavid.
Like, I get it, man. This guy had a heroic one. He helped them win three games and win the series. But that was against an offensively challenged Nashville team. This Oilers team is not offensively challenged. Like, the Vancouver Canucks only put up like 15 shots in some wins that they had. That ain't going to get it done against the Oilers.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, back to your take, Cam. I'll give it a 1 out of 5. What else you got for us?
I've been fascinated by Anthony Edwards' performance in the playoffs. I think his rise to superstardom has been fantastic, and he'll even carry that and bring the Timberwolves to an NBA championship.
Wow.
You know, they were my pick. They were my pick. The T-Wolves.
AK the Mentalist.
Right. Move over, Rose. Yeah, I'm sticking with my pick. Absolutely. They're up 2-0 on Denver. I mean, after winning both games on the road, including last night, they win by 26. Pulled Denver to 80 points without Gobert. He's going to win the Defensive Player of the Year. It's an incredible team that they put together in Minnesota. My guy Ant, the Ant-Man, getting it done.
Yeah.
And they might be able to play.
Chris Finch, the coach.
That's right.
Battling through a torn patella tendon on the bench.
Finch from American Pie hooking up with Stifler's mom. Let's go. Let's go, Minnesota. 5 out of 5.
Paul Finch. Yes.
What a stud. He really knew what he was doing in high school.
He's
just like, yeah, ladies. Just like telling everybody different stories about his old.
How good he is.
How great he is. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. None of it was true. But I think what is true is that Minnesota will win the NBA title.
I mean, look. I think this is a very strong take because they beat the Lakers that they beat in the first round? No, Denver played the Lakers. they dismantled the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, sweep.
Phoenix Suns. And now, like, the team that everybody had pegged to be a strong repeat, a champion was the Denver Nuggets. They've absolutely dismantled the Nuggets in two games on the road.
And Jamal Murray might be suspended for game three because he decided to throw a heating pad on the floor in the middle of play, which was remarkably stupid.
I mean, you look at the other series. It's Oklahoma City and it's the Dallas Mavericks. I truly do believe the Minnesota Twins or Minnesota Timberwolves could win the NBA championship. I'm going to give this a 5 out of 5.
Yes. We are T-Wolves fans. We were fans of Siakam and Ananobi, but that's our Western Conference team, the T-Wolves. We love them. Wolves.
Ooh!
What's next?
So the PWHL has this playoff format where the top seed gets to pick their choice of the third and fourth seed in their playoff format. The NHL should adopt this, and the top seeds should be able to pick who they play in the first round.
5 out of 5. That would be so much fun. Who wouldn't be up for that?
Imagine Boston looking and seeing Toronto in there.
Yeah, everybody would take
you
the
guys,
Leafs.
Thank you.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, the top seed gets a chance to pick, and Toronto is, like, the fifth seed in the conference, and they're like, yeah, we want Toronto. Yeah.
Like Montreal sneaks into the playoffs next year. It's we'll take the lead.
Like, so the first team has a chance to pick any of the bottom four teams. And they go, well, we want Toronto because we know they can't win in the first round. Look, the NHL has adopted this playoff format, which, again, I just cannot stand this playoff format. And maybe it has something to do with the playoff bracket that they could create to get fans to join along and stuff like that. It's absurd. They did it because they want to create rivalries. And we still haven't seen any rivalries get created because of it. If anything, The Edmonton Oilers and the LA Kings are a great example. They've played for three straight years in the first round. Is there a rivalry there that we can sit there and say, oh my God, those teams absolutely hate each other? No, there isn't. And so you want to create a rivalry? This is the best way to create a rivalry, where you actually have a team that gets to say, I want to play that guy. Because you know who's going to get insulted by that? The fans, the players, and everybody else involved in on that team. So that's the way to create it. That's the way to ignite it. And that's the way to create some fun. Think about the show you can put on for TV.
What's the argument against this?
It's Gary Bettman. That's the argument. This guy's stubborn, doesn't want to make any changes because he thinks everything that's going on right now works.
The teams will be insulted that they get picked. Isn't that a good thing for the NHL? I don't know. I don't really understand.
I guess the NHL doesn't like hurting people's feelings.
Definitely does not. Don't let there be a draft at the NHL All-Star game because Phil Kessel will be insulted if he goes last again. Can't do that. Go ahead. We got time for one more.
All right. We've been big fans of the Tom Brady Netflix roast. They should do that a ton more. It was so entertaining. I was enthralled the entire time. They should do a lot more of that.
No, you gotta relax on this. You don't want to overdo it. You need to be. Would I love one every week? Yes, but if that, then you lose the allure.
What about once a year?
Once a year. You do it a lot more. I don't know what that means. Once a year, absolutely. I think they will do it once a year because it was extremely successful.
Okay,
I was texting with our boy Davis Sanchez yesterday. Yeah. And he says he was watching it for the third time yesterday in the evening. That's how good he thought it was, and I agree. It was amazing.
I still have to watch it for the first time completely because all I've been seeing is all of the best clips come out on social media. So I need to watch from start to finish. What is it? A 2-hour long show? And like everybody, even all the people we ran into yesterday, all the great familiar faces we saw. At Hamilton Golf and Country Club while we were there on behalf of Golf Canada because it was their media day event. As they're less than a month away from hosting the RBC Canadian Open, which we are absolutely stoked about. But think of all the people we ran into there and we were like reminiscing about how good that roast was about Tom Brady. And it got me thinking, okay, who would the next candidate be for that? That where they could have that many people taking a shot at them.
Maybe Mitch Marner?
Oh. I was thinking Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq would be great.
Shaq would be great. How about Charles Barkley?
Charles Barkley would be hilarious.
He would be great.
There's a lot of...
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. There's so many good options.
Rory
McIlroy. I don't think he'd be too much fun.
What's the Monahan guy's name for the
Jay
golf?
Monahan.
Jay Monahan.
Yeah, that would be good. I don't think the golf world would.
No! I got Tiger. The best one. Oh, there you said it.
Tiger Woods would be the best one. You're right. Just the jokes about the infidelity would be something special, and all of his injuries, although I don't know, it would get bad for Tiger. He's also got young kids. I guess Brady has young kids as well. That's what I was thinking watching that. It's like Brady's kids are like 12. They're seeing all that stuff about like the Giselle jokes and the plastic surgery.
My kids watch YouTube, and I imagine a lot of kids watch YouTube nowadays, and I can't believe some of the stuff that my kids know.
Like, give me an example.
I can't. It's not radio edit.
All right, tell me during the break. Chris Johnston in 10 minutes. This is hour two of First Up. Fired up for tonight's Blue Jays game. Okay, not really. But it is Jose Berríos on the hill in Philly against the Phillies, a team that's been amongst the hottest in Major League Baseball. We know how good Berríos has been all year, winning American League Pitcher of the Month for the opening month of the season. Well-deserved. And, yeah, he's probably going to need to hold the Phillies to like one run or less, or the Jays won't win because they don't do the whole offense thing, which has been well documented all season long. The Jays are 16-19, and they did make a major acquisition yesterday. The American League leader in ERA in 2016, that'd be Aaron Sanchez, who we remember very fondly. Remember Aaron Sanchez was a beast for the Jays. Big part of the 2015 and 2016 Blue Jays, and he actually had a league-leading ERA of 3 in the 192 innings pitched for the Jays back in 16. And then it kind of fell off the rails for him, a bunch of different injuries. He was in the minors with Minnesota and Arizona last year. 22 appearances with a 5.54 ERA and 89 innings. So I guess it's just organizational depth. But if you see Aaron Sanchez in a major league game, you better be holding your breath because it's not going to go well.
Well, hey, they might as well bring back Osuna too, right?
Who else? Who else was on? Were on those teams?
Latroy.
How about Latroy Hawkins? What's he up to today?
Who was the lefty that they brought in from the bullpen before Sanchez? Remember they had that 7-8-9 rotation
where I'm looking it up.
Sanchez was the eighth inning guy. Osuna was the ninth inning guy, but there was a seventh inning guy too.
Was it Aaron Loop?
I think it was Aaron Loop.
Aaron Loop.
I think it was. Yes.
Yes.
I think it was.
Looper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jay Happ was back on that team.
Yeah.
He was pretty good. R.A. Dickey. That was that 2016 Blue Jays.
R.A. Dickey. Wow.
Yeah. That was the
knuckleballer.
They lost in the ALCS to the Cleveland Indians 4-1. What a shame. What a shame. We'll see how it goes tonight. The Jays need to pick up some wins and do it soon. Because the conversation here in Toronto between the Jays and the Maple Leafs, it is sour right now. Chris Johnston, our hockey insider, so much to get to on the future of the Maple Leafs. What are his expectations for the amount of change that will happen? CJ joins us next.
This is Leafs Breakfast.
Welcome into Leafs Breakfast here on First Up. I'm Aaron Karolnik. That's Carlo Koliakovo. And as we do every Tuesday morning, I don't know how much longer we'll do Leafs Breakfast in that they're eliminated from the postseason. Maybe a couple more weeks, at least until we get some resolutions on certain things, including the coach. Maybe some trade talk. Let's welcome in our hockey insider. It is Chris Johnston. Hello, CJ. How are you?
I'm doing well. Were you guys out golfing yesterday?
Oh, were we ever. It was a blast at Hamilton, where the RBC Canadian Open is taking place. What a track.
Yeah,
what a track.
Yeah, I used to cover golf earlier in my career, and I covered a Canadian Open in Hamilton. Nice part of the world up there in Ancaster.
Yes. If you covered Carlo and I's round, you would not have had a good time. It was pretty ugly, but...
What do you mean? I thought we played both. We both played pretty good.
It was okay. Remember that triple on one, though? Bad luck.
Yes.
Bad break for me.
Stay out of the rough, man.
Stay out of the rough. Stay out of the bunkers as well. Well, the Toronto Maple Leafs, good segue coming up here, have a lot of time to golf after their first-round departure. That's the joke that everybody seems to make about the Maple Leafs, but it's one that has merit because, once again, they are unable to get out of the first round. I wanted to get your thoughts on what you reacted to on Overdrive last night in the moment, in that the Leafs moved their management media availability from Thursday to Friday, and I'm curious, since that time, yesterday around 6 o'clock, have we learned any reasons as to why that was the case?
I don't know exactly why it was the case in terms of timing, but you know, I do think it's significant that Keith Pelley will be part of that availability along with Brendan Shanahan and Brad Treliving. And you know, obviously there's been some, I don't know if it's speculation or rumors, people wondering about Shanahan's future. I think we can put that to rest pretty safely with the fact that, you know, his boss, Keith Pelley, will be appearing alongside him for that media availability. So, you know, it'll be an interesting one because it's the first time we've had a chance to talk to Pelley since, you know, he's taken his role with Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. And obviously, you know, there's a lot to be learned about what the direction the team's going to be and, you know, between the three men that'll be sitting at the podium there. I mean, that's where those decisions will be made.
CJ, does it almost give you the indication that they move it back from Thursday to Friday because they want to give themselves an extra couple days to strategize a plan that a lot of people are probably not going to be happy with? Do it on a Friday so that they don't have to listen to people comment on whatever decision they come up with the next 2 days, because it almost gives me the sense that they're going to tell people that they still believe in this group.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be curious to see about that. I mean, I'm sure they do. Look, there's lots of reasons to believe in the players. It's just, you know, I wonder about the plan of having them all together. It hasn't worked, right? I mean, you know, they're not crazy to say they believe in a group where you have, you know, Mitch Marner's been almost a 100-point player. Nylander was almost a 100-point player. John Tavares has had a fantastic career and still is point-of-game guy. And very good two-way. You know, obviously, Austin Matthews, 69-goal season. I mean, it's not crazy to say you believe in the players. It's just, you know, whether it can all work together, I think, is a big question. And, you know, moving it from Thursday to Friday, quite honestly, it could just be a scheduling thing for all I know. I don't read too much into that. But the fact that they didn't do it yesterday or even today, you know, right in the moment after the players and Sheldon Keefe spoke, I mean, I do think that there's some merit there, that it does give some time to make some decisions. To maybe give more of a concrete idea of where things are headed versus just react emotionally pretty quickly after a loss. And that's, you know, that's kind of what we got out of yesterday, right? I mean, there's not a whole lot to be said so soon. I think after, you know, a loss like the one that they had Saturday night in Boston. So, you know, gives us a few more days to get ramped up for it. And then we'll see what Friday morning brings.
Chris Johnson, our guest, is your sense that we'll have clarity on Keefe's status by the time that Pelly, Shanahan, and Tree Living speak on Friday?
No one's told me that specifically, but I would have to believe that to be the case. I mean, you know, we saw even, look, in Seattle when they had their breakdown day after missing the playoffs, it took a couple weeks before they eventually made a coaching change. And when it, you know, got to the equivalent of this, when Ron Francis spoke there, he was basically saying they needed some more time to evaluate that decision. You know, I suppose that's an option here. But, you know, the difference is now we're into the second round. You know, obviously we have other teams now making coaching hires. You know, if you're in the Leafs shoes and you're inclined to move on from Sheldon Keefe, you know, there is only so much time, and there's danger in perhaps some of the candidates that might make the most sense being hired somewhere else. So there's sort of a time element to that decision in general, certainly if they're moving on. And I think there's also a fairness aspect here where, you know, if it is the, you know, ultimately the decision that Sheldon Keefe won't be remaining a coach, I mean, you want to give him some opportunity as well to consider his own future. So, you know, I would think by Friday we'll have some resolution there. I don't know which way they're leaning, how that's going to play out, but it was pretty clear yesterday, you know, when Sheldon was at the podium that he doesn't yet know what the future holds. And obviously, you know, he's coached the team through five playoffs now, four of them end in the first round. We all see what's happening around the league where coaches are being changed at a alarming rate. I mean, it's fair to understand that there's a decision there. I just don't know what the decision's going to be.
Chris, the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think everyone would agree, will at least explore the possibility of breaking up the core four, and the most likely member of that, at least in my opinion, is Mitch Marner, and we know he has a no movement clause in his contract. What do you think that means for the likelihood of a trade?
Well, quite frankly, I don't think it's that likely. You know, it's my impression that, you know, Mitch Marner has that no movement clause, that he's, you know, playing out of his hometown for his hometown team, and I don't have any reason to believe that he wants to move on. Now, lots of things can happen. I mean, it would obviously be a big organizational decision if they ever thought that was necessary. And, you know, maybe after hearing certain things, that could change. I mean, it's hard to know what the future would hold. But, you know, as we enter this offseason, I don't have any reason to believe that any of the players that have no movement clauses with the Leafs, and that includes, you know, Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, and also Morgan Riley, I have no reason to think any of them want to be changed, nor, you know, do I know that the management wants to change them. And maybe that more than anything will dictate another year of this, because, you know, it's not just whether they're traded this season. There's also the fact that, you know, you have Tavares and Marner both entering what could be a UFA season. How do they navigate that? So, you know, there's a lot of what I would call big decisions ahead for the team. And, you know, if all those players are back, I mean, the Leafs are committing, I think, 53% of their salary cap to four forwards next year, even with the cap jumping up. Obviously, new contracts for Nylander and Matthews take effect, and both of those players got raises. So the challenge of building out the group around them is even tougher than it's been in the past, I'd argue. And to me, that's been the biggest issue. The reason, you know, I think that they should have moved off the strategy is it's just too much money tied up in too few players. And, you know, whether it's the injuries that Matthews and Nylander had, whether it's just a possibility any players can go through a tough run during the playoffs, I think that they just don't, that they haven't had enough to surround those guys to have a long playoff run. And, you know, they obviously haven't even been close to that. They only got out of the round one once, and that ended in five games.
And all they've been doing the last couple of years is finding new pieces to surround these guys. I just don't know how you can continue with this formula when you've seen it just can't work. And it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. I know there's a lot of people that want change and are speculating that there will be change. I don't see how change happens if you have the same people in charge making the decisions. Example, Brendan Shanahan, Brad Treliving, and Sheldon Keefe. Even though I don't advocate for Sheldon Keefe to be fired, but you know, after a loss like this again this year, nothing is, you can't defend anything right now. Like everything should be on the table for change with this group. But I guess my question to you is CJ, what was your reaction to some of the stuff or most of the stuff that you heard coming out of the players yesterday? And I know, you know, a lot of people like to take things out of context when things are said. You know, you got the Marner with the gods comment and, you know, players saying, oh, we were close, and, you know, that they still believe in this group. But aside from Sheldon Keefe, and I actually look back and I actually saw Samsonov was another guy that actually took ownership for his play. The thing that I wanted to hear yesterday was these players take ownership for their lack of production, for not being able to come up in the big moment again. And it just seems like that's not what this group is capable of. They're just not able to take ownership for their play.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think over time that's something I have noticed. I think sometimes if you had just stood up and said, look, you know, here we are talking after the first round again, we're, you know, our season's over, you know, I wasn't good enough, I've got to find a way to contribute more positively to the team's success. I mean, I think anything along those lines would go a long way. Samsonov, as you mentioned, did do that. He wasn't really asked any specific question that led him there. That was his own kind of doing, where he put his hand up and said he let in too many goals that shouldn't have gone in the net. And he was, you know, taking some ownership for what happened. I remember Ryan O'Reilly actually last year had kind of a similar reaction at the breakdown day. But, you know, it's not something, I guess, that everyone, maybe they don't believe it. You know, I can't tell you that you should say something that you don't think is true, but, you know, it does feel as though it's just a little routine. Like, I don't know what you can say on that day. I mean, obviously, you're John Tavares or any of the players that have been here and you're being asked about, you know, your teammates, you're not going to get out in the media and say, well, actually, yeah, I do think we need to drop a bomb on this roster. I mean, realistically speaking, that's not something I think a player is going to say. You know, even in Marner's case, I understand people are dunking on the God comment. I think really he kind of fumbled that, but was just trying to say that they're treated really well in the market and that, you know, he loves playing in Toronto and that, you know, fans...
Oh, no doubt, yeah, it was the wrong word to use, especially...
But I just think people are taking any chance to take a run at him for that. I mean, look, we can criticize his play. We can say he didn't do enough in the playoffs. I think that's all fair game. But some of the stuff I saw I saw one newspaper cover that I thought was like a little...
Ooh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, no.
Over the top today, responding to that. Anyway, look, it's a tough time. It's a tough day. Like, I don't know, over all the years I've been at those things, I don't know if you ever really learn anything, but it is a final chance, I guess, to pick through the wreckage of a season. And, you know, it's happening far too early again here in Toronto. And you know, I'm with you. I'm at the point, I think they do need a change, but it just might not be possible as we enter this offseason if the players that may be changed out don't want to leave and they have the contractual right to stay.
So we saw the Boston Bruins, just as we all predicted, destroy Florida 5-1 last night in game number one. Jeremy Swayman was unbelievable once again, much like we saw in the series against the Leafs. Are you a believer that Boston could stage the upset now?
Not after one game. You know, I certainly think it's, I don't know how big of an upset it would be. I mean, it would be an upset, but if you look at the year, I mean, Toronto, Florida, and Boston kind of were at the top of the Atlantic in some form, way, shape, or form all season long. I don't know where the points ended up, but it was, you know, Boston basically looked like they were going to, you know, win the division at one point, and then Florida passed them at the end, obviously, which set up the first round matchup. So, you know, it's an upset, I suppose, because the Panthers were in the Cup final last year and are a very good team. But, you know, I don't see a whole lot between the teams. And yeah, I do think Boston could win just based on what we saw in that Leafs series. I mean, Jeremy Swayman might be the best goaltender in the playoffs right now. And his teammates play a style in front of him where they don't give up too much. And, you know, we'll see how this goes. But I'm not reacting really just off the one game. I think entering the series, the Bruins are in a pretty good place, you know, health-wise. I mean, I'm sure players are playing through stuff, but they're not missing any significant members of their team, you know, whereas Sam Bennett's out on the other side right now. And so, you know, let's see how this plays out. But I'm thinking a 6 or 7 game series. So, you know, we're not, I won't give the Bruins a trip to the conference final based on last night, but pretty impressive performance emotionally to get back up for another game after winning that game 7 and flying down to Florida on Sunday and jumping right back into another series.
Oh my God, guys, I'm telling you, if the Boston Bruins beat the Florida Panthers and they march their way to the Stanley Cup Finals, all it's going to do is just allow everything the Maple Leafs continue to say about this series become more true. And it's going to make the decisions that maybe they're questioning become more real and saying, well, we lost to a team that went to the finals again.
It's not the 1 year. This is a large amount of evidence over a number of years.
Okay. They lost back-to-back years to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals. They lost to the Florida Panthers. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals. They lost to the Montreal Canadiens. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals. Every time they lose in the heartbreaking way that they do, the team they lose to makes a run.
Well, it just defends their argument. The Leafs lead the league in expected Stanley Cup Finals because you know, the facts are the facts, man. I mean, they've played 9 series and lost the last 8 of them. And I know they've been close in most of those series. They've been in a Game 7 or the Game 5 with Columbus. But, I mean, come on.
I'm with you, man.
At a certain point, we can't use that as an excuse or as a, well, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
I'm with you, man, but... I mean, when was the last time they listened to what we all want them to do?
Well, they'd go nuts if they listened to us.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Everyone would be traded.
There's people around this city with a million different opinions on what they should do.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it shakes out this week. Should be a fun week in Leafland. It always is. Thank you for this, Chris.
Okay, guys. Enjoy the day.
All right. That's our hockey insider, Chris Johnston. I've yet to see this cover. Will you text it to me? I'm searching for it. It's just,
God.
We can't give a shout out to this newspaper. I think you could probably take a guess as to which newspaper it is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Oh, it's gold. These guys know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
I'm sending all right. It to you right
I saw it. I saw it.
You
it
saw
came,
it already?
It came up. Okay. Yeah, it was sent to me. This hour
OMG.
First up. That's right. Well done. This hour, first up, brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. Order a pizza and wings combo. One large pizza, 3 toppings, and 10 wings, only $29.49. Try their new Thai sweet chili wing sauce. 2for1pizza.com. Hour 3 coming up. Buster only in 15 minutes on the Jays and what they could be looking to do. Talk about blowing it up in Toronto with the Leafs. How about the Toronto Blue Jays, who are 16-19 plus Bob Wischusen, the voice of the 2024 AFC champion New York Jets. He's also calling the NHL on ESPN as well. He's coming up at 8:45. Hour 3 coming up here on First Up.
Formula One lives on TSN with every race all season long. And with TSN Plus, go that extra mile with onboard cameras, pit lane channel, and more.
Boy, is it good here.
F1 lives on TSN and TSN Plus.